My name's Jan, and I'm a grateful food addict.
Hi, Jan.
Is this on? Yeah. Is it on?
I don't know. We'll check. Yeah, the red light's on.
Okay. Thank you. Anyway, well, what a meeting. This has been fabulous. I love coming to these retreats and these workshops. They're so... I need them. I need to hear everybody, and everybody that has spoken has been wonderful. It's just each person has been very thoughtful in their sharing of their experience, strength, and hope. And you know, I've been on a sort of a whirlwind week, but I wanted to come to the meeting tonight. I thought no matter what was going on, because being close to my program and being close to everybody here is the most, in a sense, this is the most important thing that I do all week. The other is background music. You know, it's my work. It's like la-di-da. But this is where I get my heart and soul and nourished. When I came into 12 Steps, which was in 1971, I was 28 at the time, but I was from California, and I had always seen myself sort of as this, happy, sort of playful Californian, bebop her. And I came to the East, and I remember my friend saying, Jan, we do not wear white boots and, low necklines down to here. And I mean, I was, when we talk about transformation, it was like completely. And so I had to learn the ways of the East Coast as opposed to the West Coast when I came here. But this program has been a long, bumpy journey for me. It has not, and I felt like when I first came in, I heard people saying, you know, I came to believe, and it's just been a, you know, tripping through the flowers and the rosebuds, smelling it, just fabulous. I'm free and wonderful, isn't it? And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, you know, this is going to be a long bump. I that famous line where she says, put on your seatbelts or something, it's going to be a long, bumpy ride. And that's the way I feel it has been for me. I was really a broken person at 28. I was a broken person. I had come from a family that looked good on the outside. I want to emphasize this so you hear it loud and clear. We looked good on the outside. My father was the editor, publisher of the newspaper in town. My mother was the PTA. They were Stanford grads, dressed, looking fabulous, everybody chic. And yet there was this this other world inside our world, which was where we didn't talk about what was going on. You know, smile and the world smiles with you, cry and you cry alone. We do not discuss problems. Mother, could you tell me about your religion? We don't discuss religion, Jan. That's between me and my person. Could we talk about sex? Good grief, no, that's not discussable. What about money? No, we don't discuss money. So what I'm saying is I came into the program without a compass. I did not know what the world was about or how to regulate or where I was going or what was happening. And I felt terribly alone, really alone. And yet my world was based on looking good. Everything was based on looking good. But as I was explaining to my friend earlier, growing up, having this very chic mother, and I was explaining it to you, having this very chic mother, and most of the young girls that, you know, the daughters of these very chic PTA, junior league type women, there was me, and I was overweight, I was pimply, I had braces, I wouldn't wash my hair, because I just felt so alone and so horrible about myself. And because I had no nourishment of the soul, because we didn't talk in our family. Now, I have found out that not everybody needs that. you know, there are people out there, they do not need to have the inner journey in ways that some of us need to. I did. I would say that anyway, I don't know about my mother, but we just never spoke on a deep level about things. So it wasn't, I couldn't have it from her. It was only later, because my father came into the program, and it was my father and I that really had this very close relationship where we could talk about really who we are. And it's been mentioned earlier from others that I think when you talked about humility, that humility, and I love that, is the acceptance of who you are without judgment. What an amazing, that just gives me, I want to go take a warm bath when I hear that. It's just that I feel the comfort like being in a cocoon. You mean acceptance of self without judgment? I can be who I am? That is unbelievable to me. I just scribbled down some things about that I was broken, that I lived with shame, I lived with self-centered fear. I was, people-pleasing was my modus operandi. I mean, whatever would please you, I would have to do because I was so needy. I needed everybody to love me, to care about me, tell me I'm okay. Because I had no inner resource that was saying, you're okay, Jan. There was nothing there. And I remember writing when I first came into the program too, and the first thing I wrote down was that I felt like an empty waste paper basket with everybody else's letters in it. And what I meant by that is I had no thoughts of my own because all I would do is, you felt this way? I did too. You felt this way? I did too. You want to go this way? Oh, you want to go to the movies? You want to go to the ice skating rink? Whatever it was, I would transform myself into you. So that when I got here, there was no me there at all. I was a channel for everybody else and everybody else's thoughts. And it came from this deep, deep sense, I think, of shame, low self-esteem. Because I had coming up from the family I did, we never talked about who we were. We never got a sense of, what are you feeling? Are you feeling okay today? So it was this really emptiness. You know, and yet looking good was everything. So I had the two worlds going. I would go out that door and it was showtime. I would shut the doors and I would go back into my other thing. So that I know that what my dream was in this program and what I felt from the moment I came into this program, that there was the possibility of me bringing together the outside and the inside. That I had a shot at bringing these two separate parts, the looking good, you know, remember the song, I'm the Great Pretender? Oh yes, I'm the Great Pretender, pretending that I'm doing well. My need is such, I pretend so much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. Do you think I sang that about 8,000 times? That was my theme song, I think, dancing around my room by myself growing up. But, you know, that sense of wanting to just, would I ever get to bring these two parts of my, two beings together? And so, this program has not come easy for me. And when I said I came into 12-step in 71, it wasn't OA, it was an AA. But it was a couple years later that I was introduced to OA. But this was in the early 70s. And I had enough trouble just hanging on to, you know, one thing at a time. I've heard others speak in this program where, you know, you open the door and then we go through this one and then, you know, it takes whatever it takes and then you open the next one. I mean, I am in multiple programs today because that door has come, you know, it has come to a point where I had to deal with the next thing. I couldn't stay where I was, so I had to open that next door. And, don't do them perfectly. But what it says in step 11 is the promise is, and this, you know, the actual step in 11 is sought. That's a great word, seeking. I am a seeker. I'm an experiential. I consider myself experiential. I am a seeker. And it's sought through prayer and meditation. to improve our conscious contact with God. And this promise in step 11 is of the direction and strength we need to live the rest of, and I thought I was going to say, think life here. No, the rest of the day. Direction and strength we need to live the rest of the day effectively. And that the other promise is that, and this is I can't think of anything more powerful to give more security than nothing can destroy our relationship with this source of healing and strength. Here's the magic. If we keep talking, if we keep coming back, if we keep showing up, it will get better. And I am one to say, I've been in these programs for 40 years, and it has been a slow ride, but the one thing I did is I kept coming back. I keep coming back. Somehow that little flame inside, and I was looking tonight at my, because I felt like our heater had gone off, but I saw this little flame in there, and I thought, the little flame doesn't go. So I have gone through all sorts of ups and downs in this program, and, oh, I don't need this, and, oh, you're worse off than I am. And even though after I've explained exactly that I was broken and as far down as you could go, in one sense, for me personally. But because I was always looking at myself in terms of other people. I was always seeing you, and of course it was always, and if I saw somebody that I thought may not be as good, that was a heavenly moment for me. But usually, I'm sorry, but it was, you know, oh, that dress, I don't know, she's, Or, you know, I mean, you know that line where we say, God, this I would never do. Until you've been around this program long enough, and then you know that, yes, you know, everything you can think of, and then some. So it's a, you know, but I love this. Nothing can destroy our relationship with this source of healing and strength. Think about that. Nothing can destroy it. Nothing can destroy this relationship with our higher power. And that is because we know this program is not an eating program, a drinking program, a money program, a sex program. It is a journey into the inner heart and soul of each of us. It is an inner journey. It is about a spiritual life that we are going to have, not an outer life, not that looking good stuff. Because that looking good stuff doesn't hold when it comes to you getting back in bed at night. It's me with me. So, the 12th, as it says here, the you know, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So, you know, spiritual awakening, the promises, a message of hope for other compulsive overeaters. Frankly, I never thought of other people. I, too, loved me. In fact, my father used to say, keep Jan away from the mirrors because I've never seen one that she didn't like. So I enjoyed, I loved talking, you know, looking, thinking about myself. I coming in, growing up in this little town in Southern California, we were right next to Hollywood. So I was always, you know, I had them to share with. I will wrap this up. Well, I actually always thought I was going to be found. I was going to be discovered. Let's get it out there right now. That I would do nothing, but they would find me on a stool at the local pharmacy, or, you know, the drugstore. And just as I started to take a sip of something, I would hear their noise saying, she would be perfect for the starring role in, you know, Cinderella or something. And I would turn around. I mean, because I grew up in Hollywood land. It all just magically happened, magically thinking. Anyway, it has not been that way. It has been a bumpy ride, but I have stayed in it. I have stayed in the course. And I can tell you truly, because I think I'm just, the ding is about to ding, right? Yes. Has donged. That I today, this fragile little being that I am, and I know that I am fragile, which is why I stay very close to this program. I know that I will never, ever eat or drink like a normal person. It will never go away. I don't care how spiritually fit I may think I am. I need to stay close to this program. I need, and to, I have a sense of a higher power that I have with me at all times. And I am saying thank you all day long. And I feel his, her presence with me at all times. And I look out at you and I know that I am in the right place, the right person at the right time. And I just think we're very lucky. We're on the Titanic together. And I would always say, you know, if I was sitting on the Titanic and I would be the one waving goodbye with my, you know, gloves on because we wanted to look good just before we went down. Thank you.
Very inspirational, very nice, very fun, a lot of fun. With that, Gail, I'm going to turn it over to Gail to do the ceremony.
Thank you.
Okay.